Lang.
Yeah, right.
And you used to live in Narcullo, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm going to ask you some questions that you and I both know the answers to.
Yeah.
But the tape doesn't know them, okay?
Yes.
How many were in your family?
It was nine of us.
Nine children?
Yeah, nine children.
Nine children.
And the mother and father.
Okay. What sort of a house did you have?
A log house.
A log house.
Yeah.
Chinked in mud?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the back.
Right. How many rooms were in the house?
Five.
Five rooms? That was a big house.
And a porch. We had a big porch and all the balances, right?
That was a big house, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, pretty big.
Yeah.
But some of the rooms weren't too big. You
yeah.
see, he built a kitchen and a room. I mean, after we growed up, he had to build a room.
Uh-huh. Oh, now that's fascinating. How many acres did your father have?
Well, we had a whole lot of land. See, we down all next to the copper mine. My daddy owned that. That was a...
Your daddy owned the copper mine?
He owned the land out from that.
Uh-huh.
He owned all that land, and they belonged to his mother and father and grandmother. Then after they passed away, it all went back to him. And that's where we pastured all our horses. And then up off where we lived, I mean, he had about 100 acres on the fence. And you know all we got for that? About $100. About $1 an acre all the pork potatoes.
A dollar an acre?
That's right. And all that good pasture land.
Mm-hmm. It was good pasture.
Yeah.
Not many trees there then?
What kind of trees, you mean?
Yeah, there weren't many trees there in
no,
the pasture?
We had it cleared off. It all, you know, it's grass. But there was some bushes, you know, but they kept them cleared down.
Mm-hmm.
We had apple trees and all like that in orchard. You know, when we pastured our horses and cherry trees and all like that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Did your father know how to graft apple trees?
No, this is an apple that I don't see none around here like we had up the mountains. These are old red marlin, boy, they were the best, and rusty. And then we had a big white apple down there next to the breeding feeder, we called it.
Yeah.
And all kinds of sweet apples make the best dessert you ever seen.
Yeah.
And all kinds of red striped apples. I don't know the name of them, but we really had good apples up there.
Great.
And cherries. I never seen so many cherries in my life. Used to be in the mountains. And mm-hmm. blackberries.
These cherries grow wild.
Yeah, there was wild trees, but them was the best cherries you ever seen. But he go up there in these cherry things.
That's what I have been hearing.
Oh, all these are the best kind of cherries. I've never eaten no cherries since. There's no good but that.
Yeah. Did you ever dry cherries?
No, I never did dry any. My dad's older sisters are canned cherries. No, I can't see if he was older than I am, and he done most of the canning.
Yeah. Your mother died, didn't she?
Yes, number 36 is said when she died.
Do you know why she died?
She had a kidney trouble, I said.
Oh.
Yeah, and that would have the doctors like they got today, probably, but she never did a cure.
Right.
And they wanted to take out one of the kidneys, but I've heard my older sister saying my daddy wouldn't agree to it, and she didn't either. So, killed.
Yeah. Bad kidneys are disastrous.
Yes, indeed it is.
So, how old were you when your mother died?
I was about 6 years old, 5 or 6.
Then you don't remember her very well, do
no,
you?
No, I can't. I remember one time when a snake bit me. I was little, a snake bit me when I was small, but I mean, I was about 4 years old when the snake bit me. I clung up on a rock pile. Now, I knew Brad was good. I clung up on a rock pile. One of my sisters, Elsie, the one that married Ralph Kate, she was down there with a plane on the straw or something like that. And somebody brought it up for my daddy. And we was playing on that, and there's a rock wall around our garden fence, and I got up on that tree, on that rock wall. I said, wait, I knew Brad good. I said, I'll get us some cherries. And the snake bit me, and I run to the house, I knew right good. The first thing I know, I knew right this good as it was today. I grabbed the dish rag and wrapped around my ankle. And my mother then, I knew my mother was lit. I knew my mother a little bit dark. She carried me over in the field where my Uncle Tom Cave was hoeing corn and asked him what it was. Well, it bit me or stole me. He said it was a hornet. He said it's a hornet. And it done swelled great big. He said I didn't want for 3 or 4 weeks. So I can't remember nothing more about it. after that, I can't remember a thing more about it. I ain't dug into nothing.
But it was a snake, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a moccasin. The preacher, Greg Cade, and my daddy tore the rock wall down and picked out and found it. It's a moccasin.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a copperhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was three of us bit. In my family, my oldest sister, she was bit up here close to Bob Island. She lived around the Pawnee Mountains. She's a visiting some of the neighbors that lived close to her. And copperhead bit her. And then Stella, one of the twins, the snake bit her down there at close to the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Weren't like to kill her.
Mm. What did y'all do for a snake bite?
Indeed, I couldn't tell you, but they put all, now I know on my own, my sister, my twin sister, they put some kind of weed, you know,
snakeweed poultice?
Yeah, and they rubbed it with liniment, and I think said the Admiral Woodard or somebody come by with a little lick or something, and they rubbed some of that on her leg, and maybe to give her a little taste of the drink or something.
Mm-hmm.
But before she was swelled clear up into her body.
Mm-hmm.
And that before she had to walk in the upper house, it wasn't the summer time. And they ain't at the copper mine, there ain't 10 miles or more.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the other day that your father used to work in the copper mine?
Yeah, that's before I was born there. Some of us, or even Amy, the one that died, she can remember it. She could remember it a little, I don't know. But
have you any idea what your father did there?
Well, as well as I can remember, I think he hoped to put the blast. Blast out, you know, and clean the dirt out of them copper mine holes.
Do you know how much he got?
No, I never did you anything. I don't think it's much.
No.
No, it couldn't have been much.
And then the copper mine sort of petered out, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. After I was born, the ring had been gone then. When the copper mine put the holes up.
Did you have a vegetable garden?
Yep, we had a real good garden.
How big was it?
About an acre, about a bit of acre.
Gee, that's a big garden.
Yep, well, it was a big bunch of us. We had that whole lot.
What all did you raise?
We raised cabbage, the biggest ones you ever see, really, and potatoes, and sweet corn, and squash, and cucumbers, and red beets. And I don't know, beans, plenty of beans. And then we'd put beans in our cornfield. We'd pick, get your great big sacks full, you know, what's called a dormer sack.
Mm-hmm.
We'd pick in full of beans and we all would dry them. We'd string them on the night, a whole bunch of us would have a bean string.
Yeah.
And they'd come and help us. And we'd strap them up on those strands. I don't know whether you've ever seen anybody do them like that or not.
No, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, we'd spread them, you know, a needle, a big needle, a thread or twine. And we'd strand these big long strands up and hang them up and let them dry and we'll broom it and run new.
Yeah. Do you know how long it took those beans to dry that were hanging in the room?
Well, warm weather and let the air come in about a week or two, they were drying nice.
Mm-hmm.
In about a month, it was real dry.
Then you put them where?
In the sacks.
In the sacks. Did you put anything in with those?
No.
No salt?
No.
No,
we didn't put nothing. And it kept real good.
Uh-huh. Great. And in the winter, you had those for all winter long. Did you call those hay beans or shuck beans or?
Most of the old people in the mountains call them fodder beans because we raised them in the corn, you know.
Oh, fodder beans.
Yeah, that's what the most of the old people would call them, fodder beans. That was funny, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. You mentioned you had horses. Did you have cows, too?
Yeah, we had a cow and three horses.
Three horses?
Yeah.
Why did you need three horses?
Well, see, one of them was a colt, and we had two work horses. He'd work in horses, pole bark and ties, railroad ties, and post, all of the standing on the cells.
Now this was all from your own property that he was able to do this.
Yeah, well, then you could go anywhere, you know, in the mountains, pull anywhere and cut anything you want and nothing said, and nothing done about it.
Was there any what they called public land up there?
No, only them, some of the cattlemen, who had them cattle farms, they had private land. Don't think you want nobody going and cutting up no men. But
yeah.
But all the other land there before, that's called Pine Cliff, up in there, you go up in there and cut all kinds of posts. A week away down there, close to Pine Hard, they called it. Miles, he'd cut posts there before.
Did you do any of this?
I saw a post and come out, but the railroad ties, I never got in there, that's too small. And bark now, I've carried out a whole lot of bark. I like that.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't mind it a bit. I was, you know, we'd take our time and we'd see a lot when we'd go through the woods like that and hear the birds sing. We enjoyed all that.
Tell about the birds.
Well, when the beer horn our corn, you know, we had great big corn fields that raised an acre, 2 acres of mowing corn, or 3. You'd look at my dad, it's sort of the biggest kind of corn field. And kind of make us all kind of mad because we're working in this field. And then we'd all work, you know, we'd all work our roads out to the Indians. We'd all have a road. It'd be about 7 miles of hoeing corn. And one would always stay at the house and cook dinner while the rest of the corn.
Uh-huh.
And then when we get out to the end of the road, the corn and the fields be next to the woods, bushes, and pretty woods. And I heard the pretty birds are singing, the nightingales. You'd really sing pretty. And I've never heard no bird sing like that since.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sat there and listened and they sing the first you ever see.
Did they sing in the evening?
Yep, late of evening and early of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they sing.
Yeah. Whippoorwill?
Yes, whippoorwill would fly right there in the yard on the wood pile and we'd cut wood, you know, and they'd sit there all night and fall all around close.
Did you have crap?
Yeah, that was pheasant, wasn't it? Called the pheasant?
Mm.
Yeah, there's plenty of them in the mountains too. And arrowheads. They called it Bob White.
Yeah.
Well, we'd be carrying that bark and we'd find some of their nests. Some of them would have little babies and some of them wouldn't be hatched yet.
Yeah.
And we'd look at their eggs. But before I talked about a slick little thing to get away from him was a little young pheasant. We'd want to see him, you know, we'd try to keep up with him to see him. And you'd dodge them to dry leaves or anything, you couldn't lay eyes on none of them. We'd try our best to get you know, close to them. We thought it was so pretty, we'd catch us one or something like that. But boy, they'd hide so quick close, we'd never know where they went. And old mother said she'd fly away and begin to park, you know, go crack, 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 kind of like a hen.
Yeah.
And Linda's. We'd want look at see if we'd see any with her, but none of them be with her. They all be done here on the leaves.
They were smart.
I mean, they were.
Okay. Well, your vegetables, I do want to ask this. How did you take care of your vegetables during the winter, aside from drying the beans?
Well, you see, we'd dry apples. We'd dry some apples, and we put them in sacks, too, to have from the winter. But then we'd can the red beets and tomatoes and all like that. We'd can all that up.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd bury turnips, cabbage in the ground. We had a little cellar dug, you know, like under the ground, something like we got here now. We built our rocks.
Uh-huh.
And we'd keep our potatoes and apples. And we buried the turnips and a whole lot of cabbage. We buried them too. And made a hole with great big barrels, as far as we'd make. I reckon you'd see these great big wooden barrels hold about 100 gallons.
Yeah.
We'd make one of them back full of sauerkraut.
Did it ever freeze in the winter?
Yes, we've had sitting on the porch covered up, you know, with cloth over it. It'd freeze. Oh, but that didn't hurt as a bit.
No.
It's the best you ever seen.
Yeah. There's so nothing good. Like it made in a wooden barrel.
I know it.
I don't know what it is.
And we came in for and tried to find us a little barrel since we've been in here, and we can't find one like we had before.
No.
And in great big barrels, they stole hogs, they mean that.
They did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stole hogs, you know, they build a keel, and I don't really remember seeing one, made out of dry wood.
Yeah.
Put rocks on, and a layer of rocks, and a layer of dry wood, and then they'd have this big barrel and stall them in, fill it full of water and heat all them rocks and they'd get red and then drop the rocks over in there and it'd heat the water and that's the way they'd stall them hogs.
Mm-hmm.
We raised a whole lot of hogs and pigs, but you couldn't get nothing for them. Back then days, Oh, my daddy had gifted them big pigs. It'd be $2 and $3 a piece. And I mean, they weighed almost 50 pounds, some of them. That's all you could get for them.
Did you let them run loose, or did you have them fenced in?
No, we'd let them run loose and go up in the mountains and eat acorns and they'd get so fat till they come out and get down the holler.
Did you notch their ears or anything so they didn't know who was who?
No, they never did. None of them in the mountains. I don't think I ever done that.
Well, then how did you know which was your hog?
Well, see, we'd know the color of them and all. We'd raise a whole lot. We know the car roll, and they'd come back sometimes. They'd come home all the time, leaving. But sometimes you'd have to go up in the chestnut woods and hunt them and drive them back home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we raised a whole lot of hogs, pigs, still. You couldn't get none for nothing then.
No. How about cows? Did you have cows?
We had one milk cow.
One milk cow.
Yeah, and then my Isaac Long would bring us one. And my daddy had stalking his cattle and things around through the summer, he'd bring us one to milk too. Sometimes too, he'd bring us two.
Oh.
And we had plenty of milk and make our own butter and cheese and all like that.
You had a spring house.
Yeah. Good cold water. I've never seen no good water like that was in the mountains.
Would you please tell about the spring?
Well, our spring, you know, it was about a spring, it's about 100 yards or more. We had to carry water up the hill. The house had a funny like a little hill up on the road. And this big sugar tree is over our spring. And that was some good water. We had to carry water up the hill to wash and all like that. And it was a ways too, but we didn't mind it. And that big sugar tree, that was right over our spring. That's still standing. The last time I was up on last fall, that's still standing right over the spring. But the water's gone. I don't know what happened to the water. Ain't wasn't no water in the spring. All up that hollow, it was branches, the water had come down. And then there's another little hole, looks like a little well down in the rocks. Sometime that when that dry, I think it's in 1930 or 31, our spring went just about dry. But this way down in that little rock, we'd have to go down in there, down in them rocks, and sit and dip out with a dipper.
Ah, dry.
But that never did go dry.
Uh-huh.
And the last time I was up there, I looked to see them children and see if I'd found that old hole of water show burning. But it wasn't there either. I filled up a rock.
Mm.
I don't know what in the world happened to all them springs up there.
You mentioned the other day with planting corn. Would you tell about that, how you planted your corn?
Well, we'd all go up in there and we'd drop the corn in there and beans all together. And pumpkin, we'd drop pumpkin seed in there. We'd raise all kinds of pumpkin seeds. And we'd hold, sometimes there'd be some rocky, in them rocky hills, rocky places, great big rocks, and we'd have to get a little handful of dirt and carry that and put it around that corn stalk, and that's the biggest corn you ever had, we'd grow in them big rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the real good corn we'd raise up for. We all had our corn house just full of corn every winter.
Mm.
Have enough, you know, to give the horse, feed the horses, and the hogs all the whole winter.
Mm-hmm.
We really raised a lot of corn. And oats, he put out a patch of oats sometimes. And we'd just take something like a reaper. I mean, you know what that was then.
Yeah, a reaper.
Well, we'd cut the oats with that and bind them up in a little bale like and chop it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it dried that good, we'd haul it to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had enough feed to keep our horses and cattle all the winter.
Yeah. Did you ever make apple butter?
Yes. Yeah, we'd make apple butter too. Sure. Every fall we'd make apple butter.
Did everybody get together when you made apple butter? All the neighbors?
Yeah, all the neighbors would come and help us, and we'd help them. And whenever they bought, we all would go and help them.
Did you make sort of a party of it? Or was it just another job?
Is this a job, and all our neighbors would come and help us.
didn't have any music while you were doing it?
No, we didn't have any.
You didn't have the custom of touching the paddle and getting a kiss?
Sometimes they say that. My daddy, he played banjo.
He did?
Yeah, he had a banjo. He kept that as long as he lived. I reckon after he died, he still had a banjo. And now three or four of my sisters learned to play. But I never could learn to play it. I'd play it. I could learn a little bit, seemed like, on a couple of new, make a little tune or something. I never did try too much. But my oldest sister, and the one married Elder Kay, she can really play a banjo good.
She can?
Yeah. Yes, sir. She used to. And Mamie, she lived over in Miller's Hall, with Cole Miller's Hall. She lived over, and now she could really play too. But none of the rest of us never could play the American Night. Then my daddy used to banjo sometime at night, and it just started really sing songs and play to his session.
Can you remember any of the songs, what they were?
Yeah, they play Cindy and the Little Log Cabin, you know, with something like the Great Barn on the Door or something like that, the way it went. Uh-huh. And old Dan Tucker, and I don't know what all this, a whole lot of different things.
Oh, they're good tunes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is really good.
Sally, Will You Marry
Me? Yeah, you play that too.
Yeah.
And I've heard him say when he was growing up, he used to go around, you know, to different places and play for dancing.
Oh, boy. Did you have any dances?
No, I never went to a dance in my life. That was funny, wasn't it? No, we never did go to a dance, nor I never did know what a theater was. I got married, I went to that twice since I've been married, that's 36 years. You know how much I went?
I can see you went to they went very busily. Were any of you, excepting for your mother, sick at any time? Were there any childhood illnesses that you had?
No, I think in the mountains of the really seemed like a good place. None of us hardly was ever sick. All of them got diphtheria. All of us got that. And let's see, I think my youngest sister, Buell, she was the youngest of us. She got it first, and then I got it. And the doctor from Crispinsville was Dr. Ross was our doctor. He'd ride a horse back in them days from Crispinsville to North Hollis. And he vaccinated all of us, and happened that all of us got over it. But they say after it went over 3 days, if you didn't do something before then, it killed you. It goes down in your breath.
Yeah.
That two of Bird Cave children, the preachers, was dead at one time. Both of them they did it one time in the house. They died with it.
You never got a cold?
Sometimes we'd get a little cold, but we'd wait snow, sweat, rain, ice, and everything else. I think they seem like it hurt us a bit. And well, I shut corn. See, we wouldn't get all our corn in the fall sometimes, so I'd just sit in the winter. And we'd go up there and shuck that corn. Cold, real cold days. We snowed and take current fodder and they ain't been hurt a bit.
Oh my gosh.
That was the healthiest place ever was. It was good water and all. I believe that's what makes you healthy.
That's right.
All that good water.
Mm-hmm. And outdoor. Working and living out of doors.
Yeah.
About your clothes. Where did you get your clothes? Your mother wasn't around to make them.
Well, George Cage wife, Maud Cage, she sewed and made, she'd make the most of our dresses. We'd buy the goods at Kiblinger store, Dave Kiblinger.
Uh-huh.
And Knight store, that was the closest, but that wasn't too close. I mean, about a mile from where we lived to the top of the ridge. And then I ran a bit of 6 or 7 miles down to the store. And we'd walk down to them stores and car turns up the mountain. This is a near cut called the Big Field Holler. That was a grass field and that was full of cattle. That's we'd come up that near cut from the store and we'd buy our dress goods down there and all our groceries and carry them up on our backs and the horses. The horses would be in the field and we'd be walking to take a horse anytime. And my daddy, sometimes he'd ride the horses and take chestnuts or dried apples, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He'd take them down, but we'd better walk a bunch of them.
Would you take things like eggs? And chickens,
yeah,
to trade to get what you needed?
Yeah, they bought eggs then and chickens. You could sell a chicken anymore. We raised a whole lot of chickens in the mountain. It was a good place.
Yeah.
And we'd sell a whole lot, take them down, carry them in a sack.
Carry them in, and they didn't break?
No, the chickens, what we carry in the sack, you know, with it. They'd cut holes in the sack and poke their head down.
Oh!
And then only time I had. Oh, I did that too, because I was young and you know, trying to change.
I wish I could have seen it.
Oh boy, I dreaded that she goes stormy, won't you? Me and my son, my older sister, which I'd go most of the time. And we'd draw a whole lot of apples, sometimes we'd carry, you know, some torrents down to the store. And then we'd pick huckleberries and try them down off the mountain. And all we'd get was about 10 or 15 cents a gallon then, folks. That wasn't nothing, was it?
No. But it helped.
Yeah, it helped us. But everything's so cheap then. All the groceries and sugar and all like that. $5 will got you more than that and 25 more.
Sure. Right.
Indeed.
Yeah. So you would buy sugar and salt.
Salt worm is about 2 cents a pound now.
And kerosene.
Yeah.
And coffee.
Yeah. And
and material.
Yeah.
Shoes? How about shoes?
Yeah, we'd buy our shoes down at Claude Kibling. And sometimes we'd walk through the Stanley at the Jew store. With a Jew at a store, we'd walk through from Stanley at the dark aisle, dark aisle to Stanley to get us a pair of shoes.
Wow.
Boy, sometimes my feet were so sore when I got home, I couldn't hardly walk on them.
You'd do it barefoot?
No, I'd have to pull off barefooted. Sometimes my feet would notice a hot along the road, I'd have to pull my shoes off and walk barefooted. Me and Mamie, my next oldest sister then. See, Emmy was the oldest of us, and Mamie the next one. She lives over in Middletown, Miss Hurd. We mostly at Joseph's store more than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
We'd walk through our Stanley to get us a pair of shoes, because it's cheaper out there than it was anywhere else.
Sure, right. How about school? Was there a school anywhere near you?
Yeah, the little church. They teach school in the little church and preached in it.
Jared Cave did the preaching?
Yeah, and different preachers. George Barker, he lived on close to the Hoover School.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard about that too, didn't you, Hoover School now? Well, he lived on bar, and he'd come over to Dark Hollow and preach some nights or Sundays. And then there was a preacher that lived in Richard Hollow. He come from way up here. His name was Mr. Craddock. He was old then, coming to Dark Hollow. He'd ride a horse up there, and him and the Richards always would come up there and preach every third Sunday. He'd preach in North Island. Then they'd run a revival up there in about 2 weeks at the time. Preachers had come from Culpeper. Dan Smith was one of them. And Mr. Craddock, he'd come have a revival
about
2 weeks.
So you'd have church every Sunday then?
Yeah, every night. They'd have every night when they'd run that revival.
Oh, yes, the revival.
Yeah, and some of them, they made a bush harbor to preach it on top of the ridge. A bush harbor.
What's that?
You know, it's a bush harbor made like a house. I read you heard of it. Way back in the days, yeah, on top of the ridge it was. They called the Red Gate, though, they put it up on the grass. They put up a bush harbor. They put up poles. Made a great big place to be as a house, like a big house. They put up poles and then laid the bushes all over the top of it.
Oh.
Yeah, and make benches on the, and benches I board and have them to sit on.
How nice.
Yeah, I remember when I was young, but I school for a whole lot of preaching.
Yeah.
Me and all my older sisters, my daddy.
Oh, how lovely. That really sounds a nice way to have religion, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And so then the school, was the school during the winter or summer or when?
Well, now the first school I went to was my Uncle Harry Hall. He come here with the copper mine, this is, and married my aunt, my mother's sister, Stella. And he was our school teacher. He was a rough one too, I bet you.
Really?
Yeah, he was. Me and my cousin would get outdoors. Sometimes nobody would come up for him to get a drink of water at the spring. He'd let us go. We'd be out on the outside. We'd start playing. There he'd come to the door and holler, "That ain't no recess. Get in this church. Get in this school." And he was sure scared to death of him. He was a rough old man. I'll give you a teaching. He was a small.
But you
I went to is Rosie Lohr from Brightwood. She come up and teach through the summer months. So I think from about April or May she'd come up there. Long about May, I think, and then she'd teach through the summer.
And that got you out of working in the cornfield.
Yeah. Sometimes I'd lay off and then work in the corn, you know. I tell her, she'd tell me, said, I missed you out of school today. I said, well, I had no corn today.
Yeah. So how far did you go through school?
To the sixth, all went.
Very good.
Yes, I went to sixth grade. And you know, I can read as good as some of them that said they passed through high school.
Sure, sure.
Because they pass you through the books now and don't have to learn you, do they?
They don't. They
no,
really
don't. No. Now, back in the back in the days, you read little, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot to ask you, what was your mother's maiden name? Do you know?
Cave. Effie Cave.
It was Cave.
Yeah.
So she was from that same area,
yeah.
Right?
My mother was raised right there at the cemetery, close to the cemetery. That was where my granddaddy lived. And,
oh.
And my mother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that house called a fire and burnt down. Before we ever left out of the mountains.
Hey, speaking of fires, were there many in Dark Hollow?
Yes, sometimes there'd be a big fire breakout.
Do you think they were set to
yeah.
make sure of huckleberries?
I believe they did.
Yeah.
Some of them said it.
Yeah. Did you ever take time to go see the falls, Dark Hollow Falls?
Yeah, I've been there many times. I grew up there with my cousin, Doug Cade. Me and my sister were always up on sometimes fishing. He could really catch fish and trout, and we'd go up there and sit at the falls and watch that water roll down over there.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Real nice.
Yeah, I'd go with my daddy fishing too, me and my younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
We could really catch them good old trout, and that's the best old fish I ever ate.
Yeah. Did your daddy do much hunting?
Yeah, he was a great hunter. That was mostly his hobby, going in the mountains and hunting ginseng and squirrels and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'd get on easy about him. He'd be about dark before he'd ever come in and see if anything had happened to him. We didn't know where he'd gone. He'd go all over them Haywood Mountains. I know we were hunting ginseng by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he would.
Anything could have happened.
I know it. I don't think there's no bars around then.
Oh, no, but he still could have tripped
yeah.
and fallen and broken a leg.
He said he seen one of the other in Dark Hollow in that about 10 days, no way, you know, the call for Adam Hurton used to live. He was in there hunting ginseng, and he heard something in the woods tying up logs, and he thought it was old man Charlie Smith, hewing out rails. And so after first, he walked out that way, see if he was back on. And see, that's where a big bear had been and tore that log up for hunting bugs.
Oh! Yeah, there were a few bears.
Yep,
sure.
A few back then. And then the other time, it tore a painter. Them painters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said there was some of them back in days. He told me he weren't married then. He lived down the holler next to the copper mine with his grandmother, and I think his grandmother and his mother had gone to the mill to have some corn ground for corn making. And said, you heard one something holler up on the Haywood Mountain. And said, his Uncle Neil got out and said, I'm going to answer that. And said, he begged him not to answer it, because it's hard to tell what was. So he said, no, I'm going to answer it. That's somebody maybe on the mountain lost. And said, boy, you knew that thing after he got there and hollered. Answered it, you knew he heard it coming down that mountain in your life with it. I hollered and said, I had to get in the house and prop the door. it went right up by the about for a house, you know, and up into the mountain with the call of Bill Flat, heading towards Big Meadows.
Gee.
Up that way.
Mm.
Well, I've been scared to death to answer a thing like that.
Yeah.
And my grandmother and my Uncle Clix, and that was our towards Franklin's Clix, that one got after them one time. And she had a big apron full of beans, our picking beans, in her apron. And said, boy, they really had the wrong. And that thing was right behind them.
thank goodness there weren't many of them, though. No.
And a wildcat tackled my net. She lived down my fourth one to the hill up from us, but that house was tore down and it moved all up farther. You know, that's how I got born and raised up. But I've heard her tell it many times that she went down to the spring is close to the woods. She went down there one morning to get some water and said a big wildcat tackled her and about the tire closed up. And said the only way she got to comfort him, she got a stick. Had a, got her a stick and run down his throat. Yes, if all he had his mouth open, she run that stick down his throat, and that's the only way she got rid of him from tying her up.
Wow.
My dad, he killed one of the biggest ones. No, he caught him in the trap. And I was seeing my life one time. I picked that thing in him. He's longer than that little rug went through it longer. Good. He caught him in a trap, and that one of the Albert brothers that built this part of the Skyland Drive, he bought his mouth on him and he wanted to have him mounted. And he wanted to sit laying beside his fireplace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, he was a dangerous looking thing.
Sure. Yeah, what did your father do with the ginseng that he found?
He'd sell it. Uh-huh. Take it down to the night store or kibbling store and sell it.
You know how much he would get for it?
It wasn't much. Nothing like it is now.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-mm.
No, I reckon about maybe 50 or 40 or 50 cent a pound, something like that. Yeah. Indeed. Maybe not that.
Yeah, you were an adventurous one. Did you ever go down to Camp Hoover?
No, I never went down to the Hoover camp. We'd go up through that field after we moved down to Meadows Falls, up to the park, talking over. Mm. Me and my daddy and my younger sister was the last to move down to the park. So we moved down to what's called Meadows Falls.
Mm-hmm.
My next old sister lived. We moved down there in the bend until we got a little house built. And we'd go up through the what they call Bend Field, close to the Hoover School. We'd go up through there, walk up through there, go into Towns Ridge. You had a missionary house out there and just walk and sell secondhand clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd walk out there and all us buy, get us some clothes out there cheap.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm surprised you didn't go down there to Camp Hoover. Did you go to Skyland?
Yeah, I've been to Skyland a whole lot of time, but not part of that.
While you were in there? No. Oh, because so many use Skyland for recreation. I was wondering if you did.
No, we didn't travel much. Most of us, we'd just go to church and on top of the ridge on a Sunday, play with Ralph Cave, and a bunch of them would get up and play music. Oh. We'd go far. See, our daddy was kind of strict on us. He didn't want us to get going too much.
Mm. Yeah, he felt responsible for so many girls. I don't blame him. I would have been too. Yeah.
I just go with my rain boy from the Hoover camp, me and my younger sister.
You did?
Yeah.
What happened?
He was a nice little boy. Well, I believe my dad didn't want me to go with him. He didn't want us to go with no strangers.
Mm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I think we're coming. That's why I didn't want to go with him, you know, out north. So that was it.
Yeah. How did fellows court girls?
All right, now, I wasn't going to tell them much about it. We didn't go no more on the church with them. We'd walk to the church with them, and he'd come down, you know, come to our house.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have a while with us. And we'd go to our uncles, up to our uncles, and they St. Leo's, they were good people. We'd go around them a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
We'd visit them with our boyfriends.
Yeah. You're sort of chaperones.
Yeah. No, we all had to listen to him. I mean, he didn't want us to get out much.
Yeah. Did you ever say to your father, I don't feel like doing that?
No, I never did. If I didn't feel too good, I'd still go on work.
I know.
I didn't say nothing bad.
Yeah. I wonder how they taught discipline, because apparently there wasn't much spanking.
No. We used to get some or switches around us when we were little. I never had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'd all get on his nerves and we'd all go out, and he flipped the left one. I was really got the right one.
You all weren't about to say that it wasn't you.
One night with the left one, I was about to get a switch around it. So he got the right one. I was.
You apparently were almost all related, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh. How far away was your nearest neighbor?
Well, lived from us. One, two, four, and six. Well, and then rolled a piece of more cave lid. And I mean, that was back first from here down to the fork of the road.
Mm-hmm.
More or less, then off a click, it wasn't four up the road where he lived.
Mm-hmm. Now, this road you're talking about, is this the Gordonsville Turnpike?
No, this is the road that you go on. You go up Muskowhead.
Yeah.
And you or even you go up the night store. That's way back. The old road that we always travel to the store.
Is this the Red Gate Road?
Yeah.
Red Gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you turn down in the tall dark hall.
Yeah.
Know where we live.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't never been down there?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, yeah. Down there where we were born and raised at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's see. You told how you get your supplies, and I was just wondering. Your daddy was good at playing music.
Yeah, Ben.
And did any of you all, when you were sitting around, like did any of your cousins or uncles and aunts come of an evening in the winter and you'd all be sitting around, and did he or anybody tell ghost stories?
Oh, yeah. They'd come around the whole lot, I mean, no one. And when I'd go to sometimes to their house, on the night, he'd start telling ghost stories and have me, you're afraid to start back home. And me and my sisters.
Did you remember any of them?
No, I don't think I remember any of them, but it's still awful scary, I know. How much you're afraid to start back home? Well, maybe sometimes you do it for months, they want us to leave yet.
Did you ever play any practical jokes on anyone?
No, I know of. I don't think I did. Maybe it didn't. Forgot them.
Well, it wasn't all work. You had some fun.
Yeah, we have a whole lot of fun when we wasn't in corn picking working. And the whole other time, you know, we had a whole bunch of us that walked through the Richard Holler, Tanner Ridge, the preaching,
yeah.
The night.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. We went along with big fields.
Mm-hmm.
George Cage, like, she'd always come up and all us to go to her. Preaching, we always go with her. She was a nice woman. And she moved out, went too long before she got hit by a car and got killed. Oh, yeah, over in Page County. Close to the night store. Kibling store, I think, was where the car hit her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was real nice, too.
Was there much making of moonshine in your area?
No, I don't know of none, but the old Mr. Jim Rawls, I think he made moonshine all the time.
He sure did.
And Fred Sowers, I think he did make some once in a while, too.
Uh-huh. You know, it was a good cash way of making money.
Yeah.
In the Depression and everything was a help.
I think my daddy and I hear my older sister say it, my daddy and Will Cave, you know, that's the eldest brother, he's crippled.
Mm-hmm.
He's a crippled man on crutches.
Mm-hmm.
But before he could get around now and do work, I hear him say it's him and my daddy had set up one time and run one off down the hollow. I'll never forget that. He said that the car had a wheel, got to drop him somehow, and his brother had to go down and carry him out on his back. I think our daddy got the same way. I remember Will would come to our house, knows he'd always help us butcher. And my dad, I remember that time, and my daddy had put, made some wild grape wine, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he'd go heaven for him. him and Will the butcher with, and all us girls had snuck to him. Wouldn't that good for your drink at all? Well, we found out when somebody went to hunt the drums and give Will and Frank, you know, that morning to the butcher. They said, "What was with my wife? What was with my wine?" We said, "We didn't know what with it." We sneak that wine and just get a little taste at the time, you know, so you won't know it.
Sure.
So we start fixing it, all of us.
I bet it was good, wasn't
well,
it?
Yeah, boy, it was good.
Yeah.
What did it make it? Then we put the yeast, some kind of little cake of yeast, looked like cornmeal or something, put that in the so it worked off fast. And children, boy, that was good, too. Then they set up something called old hen. I never did drink none of that. I know my dad and Will used to, Willie Cade used to sit some of that up.
What?
Called old hen.
Old hen?
Yeah. You ever hear of that? Cornmeal, I think it was cornmeal and sugar and yeast. What they set it up with.
Huh.
Yeah, he said it was real good. I heard Bernie say that. Some of his people used to say that. My husband, called, he called it old hen. And the boy said, "Make you drunk as a bat." I don't think I've got in for none of that.
Just the name alone would make you not want to drink it.
Then they said that about cornmeal and sugar and yeast. And they called it old hen. I'd laugh over that. My darling, it's a... You see, my thing's an asking man. He said, "Well, I got drunk off old hen." I'm talking about this. What? Let's see. Well, sometimes, you know, we'd go to they'd have a Christmas tree. People would come from Madison County. Well, I think the doctor's wife and all this, and him and some of the preachers from Madison, they'd come up here and have us all a Christmas tree. So I'd call the people and have all kind of cake. Well, the best cake you ever eat, did have all that from the mountain people.
Oh.
And they put up a great big tree close to the top of the church. Big full of stockings and light macadamia and oranges. Had to bring them some clothes and all that good stuff from the mountain.
Wow.
And our teacher, Rosie Lawrence, she'd have a Christmas tree for us too before Christmas.
Great. Did you shoot off firecrackers?
Yeah, there's a lot of them in. I was afraid of them. Some of the old, my oldest and my sisters and all was, some of them all.
Sure.
And a whole lot of the boys around in dark houses just shooting them off all the time.
Was there much visiting?
In the mountains?
On Christmas, over Christmas?
Well, not much. People would come around and knowing visit us, everybody. We'd go to their house and they'd come to ours. And we'd have a whole lot of company every Sunday, usually. For dinner and all, like, and we lived in the mountains.
You did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Girls, the preacher's girls, they liked to come to our house, and my uncle, Cliff Cave's girls, we all grew up and played together.
Mm-hmm.
And they all would visit each other, things like that.
Yeah. Was there much drinking at Christmas?
No.
Did you do the Kris Kringlers? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I used to go out a little bit with a bunch of them when I was really young.
Yeah. Was that fun?
Yeah, that was really fun. They dress up, you know, I look scary looking.
Sure.
Most of them would come to our house too.
Uh-huh.
But you don't never see them anymore.
No.
Uh-huh.
It's a darn shame, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
Mm.
Yeah, there'd be whole gangs that come to our house and that when I was kind of small, I wouldn't know none of them.
Mm,
not scared. It scared me.
Until you got old enough to go along. Did adults go out too, or was it just the children?
No, the old people would go too. I hear them say real old people back in the days would kind of go. You know, old man Benton Jenkins, he lived over back at the top. I went to an old one, I remember him, a little short man.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go past, he'd go out Kris Kringlers, him and his wife and old gang of them. Go around the Elmore.
Do you know that's how Elsie Williams met Effie?
It was. That's the only way to know what
Yeah, she tells about that One time he came, and she, of course, didn't know who he was. The next year, when he came, she knew who he was.
Yes. Well, that's why she said it.
Yeah. I think that's rather a sweet story.
I know it.
This isn't a very happy subject, but you did mention the cemetery. There was not embalming, and so when people died, was the body kept in the house?
Yeah, in a, no, I did put them in another room. Take the bed down or something like that, and put them in another room, and put a sheet over them, something like that.
Did they use markers, stone markers, or rocks?
Rocks. Yeah. That's the reason I don't know where my mother's buried.
Yeah.
I didn't know before we moved out, but after growing up, I don't know. I don't know where she's at. And then there was snow on the ground when they buried my father up there. December, coming here, they did 17 years. And that's the only place he wanted to be put back up on. Yeah, he wanted to be put right back up on. Marv, I think Marv Cave is living me and he did now. He's been too long gone, a couple years ago. He told him that he wanted to think that she was buried at, but she wasn't. That was the outside of the cemetery, so that was the old wharf in. It went apart. But he's all close to us, all I know. Pretty close together, but she's all over in our father. Well, my aunts and my grandmother knew it very.
That is really too bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That there's no way of knowing. Were there many Breedens in that area?
No, I didn't know a number of the family of my daddy was. And then the old town of Bridge, you know, there was Breedens.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they kin to you?
Yeah, I think in the, a little relation to me, some way or another. And open backwards, they kin to me. My grandmother was open backwards. That's where I'm kin then, to the open backwards. I guess we're some kin to the Thomases on County Bridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Valley Cave?
Yes, she married my uncle.
Yeah.
Fred Cave. Now he's the only uncle out of my mother's family that's living. All the rest of them passed away.
Yeah.
And I ain't seen Uncle Fred now for a couple of years. But he's got a little white old. Imagine if he's getting close to 80 or maybe his 80. And he was always like the punest looking one out of them. And he's outlived all the rest.
Really?
Yes.
Who is this again?
Fred Cave, my Uncle Fred.
Where does he live?
I think he stays close to Elton with his son, Melvin.
Fred
Cave.
And he lives with Melvin?
Yes, Roy Melvin.
In Elton. I wonder if Melvin has a telephone.
And if he don't know, maybe he has. You go on.
I sure am.
I know when you go on, I go with you.
All right, do that. Yeah.
I will. You find out when you're going.
Sure. Right.
He's my uncle, and I'd like to see
him. Okay. We'll make a party out of it.
Yeah, we'll make a party.
You know, I have heard that when you took corn down to the store to have it, to the mill, to have it ground, and if you put it on the back of a horse, the meal, the corn meal, the hairs from the horse got in that. Is that true?
I never did hear of it, I don't think. That'd be a pin sack. There was some kind of meal sack was real thick. I don't think they would know how to get through them.
Yeah.
Everybody know how those sifters would sift for cornmeal.
Yeah.
And the flour and all like that, and the ground, and grind your coffee, You'd get the coffee, you know, in the green.
Mm.
There wasn't no ground coffee then.
No.
You'd grind it yourself in a little coffee grind.
Sure.
Well, that was a hard old job and churning butter, that was another hard one. We used to walk them down and churn, you know.
Yeah.
Me and my sister, I stayed with her a whole lot after she got married. She lived over on the called the Gambler place, back of the Ridge Gate. Over in Bintan, that was a beautiful place. I stayed with her a whole lot after she got married. And she had about two or three cows. Good Jersey cows. And me and her churn a whole lot of butter. And then churn, sometimes I tell her, I think, you have to come here and churn a while because I'm getting tired.
Sure.
Yeah, that was a hard job too.
Yeah. Mm. Did you sell any of your butter?
Yes, she sold a whole lot of it to some people in Maryland and give it to us. Mm. She'd give them butter and milk. Mm. And she, George K's wife, I think, would pay her a little something once in a while.
Yeah. When you heard the park was coming through and you knew that you'd have to move out, was it hard to adjust?
Yeah, some of them, well, no, we, us younger people, we didn't mind it as bad, you know, as the old people.
Mm.
Some of them really hated it. And I believe that's what the premier killed some of them, because Doug Cave, after he moved out, he didn't live no time for it.
Mm.
He was grieved to death about it. He moved to Jordan Hall. That was my uncle's boy, no joke. And he didn't never was satisfied anymore.
Mm.
You know, click open, click was he, open click.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear my dad say too much about it, but we moved down Miller's Hall into another hall. He could hunt, you know, and all like he always did down north. Oh no. Walt Meadows is land. He married my sister, Walt Meadows. He could throw things when he wanted on his land.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't seem like he minded it too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But most, a whole lot of them people, that really hurt them.
Yeah.
And they took all the land away from them, giving nothing. It's real crazy.
Yeah. And it was hard to find jobs.
Yep.
Yeah. Did your father do any work with the CCC?
No.
Did he do any work on the drive at all?
Yeah, he worked on the drive, you know, when he was cutting the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He worked also on the guy tent,
mm-hmm.
cutting the right way out.
Yeah.
All of them did in Dorf.
Yeah. Well, at least there was some way of making money, wasn't
yeah.
it? Have you any idea where the Breedens came from? Did ever the story get passed down, like from your grandparents or great-grandparents?
No, I can't remember now. Where my great-grandmother and them come from. But they did live in Dane or close to the copper mine.
And they were there a long while, weren't they?
Yeah.
Would you say that it was old, more than your great-grandmother and your grandfather?
Yeah, I guess it's a whole lot more than people. But that's an awful, awful
Jack. No, I mean back further than great-grandfather. Would it be great-great-grandfather? It
probably was, but I can't remember.
No, you wouldn't know them. I didn't expect that. No. Really?
No, I couldn't remember back alone. Now, for Amy, I was sure to ask her about it. Maybe she could have remembered something about it. She was my oldest sister,
mm.
man.
Mm.
But I never remember none of that. See, my great-grandmother Breeden, she died when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been a baby. Now, my grandmother Breeden, my daddy's mother, I remember her. She used to stay with us some.
Mm.
After, you know, she moved to Elton.
Mm-hmm.
After the, they moved up and down that hall, they moved out on their own, that long before the park ever took it.
Yeah.
They went to Elston. Lissy, her daughter, I think, my Aunt Lissy, she married a Kemp. She lived at Elston. Then there was my Aunt Sage Breeden, and she married a Murphy. They all lived at Elston.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad had one brother, Willie Breeden. I think he's dead now too. He lived in the Elkhorn Park. Portia came that we did leave. Now I think all of them did, but we still got a whole lot of relations that we used to in the open or somewhere, but I ain't seen them for years to come.
Most of the families were large families, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you think of anything that I haven't asked you?
No, I don't.
You were happy there, weren't you?
Yes, we were. And I felt better than I ever did before.
Sure.
Yeah, that was a healthy place. Now, if people come from away from here, you know, when we live on the cliffs, we'd all go up on the cliffs of a Sunday. The children would be selling flowers along then. Some of the Ralph's children, Ralph Cage's children, and Greg Cage's youngest children, they'd all be selling flowers up on the drive. And people would come up there and ask us, right, and we'd say, boy, this is really God's country up here. Yellow. Yeah, I don't think you'll ever get sick, do you? That's probably hardly ever.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Be some in chestnuts up there. I didn't tell you that, did I?
Yeah.
All in the coal, all that back and over the coal of wire. You know nothing of the coal of wire back in those back in the big meadow.
Mm-hmm.
All that whole woods were in the big chestnut tree. And we'd all just go out and see our daddy and every one of us kids. About one of us probably stayed home, but then Mama said, oh, yeah, real early, about 5 o'clock in the morning, and go through the fields, fresh chestnuts all day, and pick them up. And the time was when you'd take them towards Wednesday or Thursday, we'd have one of these great big meal sacks full of chestnuts to take down to the store. But I was thinking, about then they gave them about 5 or 6 in a time for them. And some of the biggest ones we'd sneak some of the big ones away from our daddy.
Sure.
Strand them up on a thread, let them dry.
Yeah.
Watch how good they was through the weather.
Sure.
They dried chestnuts.
Yeah. Did you ever roast them?
Yeah, we'd roast some too.
Mm.
Before they was good dried, we noticed. Well, it turned my brown on the we'd strand them up too, like on the spray. And you'd say to us, and then, I believe. Yeah, I was told I was a big chest.
He had a job taking care of all of you girls.
I'll tell you this. I believe y'all told I was my biggest chestnut. We'd stand them up on old friends and hang them up on own nails and let them dry. Boy, they're really good.
You were a busy bunch. You know, I'm surprised your father didn't remarry.
He never did. He did like Ilda Cave's sister.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he said one time, he said he would have married her at one time. And I believe she said she liked him too. And I think Ilda's mother and daddy didn't want her to marry my daddy on account of all us kids.
Yeah.
That was the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And, I heard him, my older sister say, my mother told him before she died to keep us all together and not to get married no more. So he must have stuck to it.
He did?
Yes.
He was a nice man. What did he look like?
He was short. And he said when he was young he had real red hair. That's the reason all of us ain't had red hair.
Oh.
Yes. But his hair turned dark, you know, the older he got then. He had dark hair, his hair was dark. And he had blue eyes, light complexion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he worked hard, I think. He worked harder than any man in dark eyes, him and George Gates. He was working them big old railroad ties and saw them and carried them, pull them out of the mountains and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my sister, my older sister, they hooked off railroad ties. But I was too young, I mean, some of the youngest of them.
Every now and then you lucked out, didn't you? Not much, but you did some.
I was enough in the cornfield, and boy, I carried a lot of bark and all like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't mind it.
Did you get up early in the morning?
Yeah. It would get us all up about 5 o'clock. And then start to the chestnut woods about that early. Ooh, my back storm too when I get home.
I should think so. Yeah.
all in these fields, a big full of cattle, you do it some morning, the beats are cold. And our feet are bigger in front of things when the cattle would jump up out of them hot places. We go out and stand warm our feet. We thought that was the best little warm place we ever struck.
Right. Oh, gosh. Oh, this has been simply wonderful. I'm not going to unhook this. I'm going to leave it all because you may think of something more. Oh, but meanwhile, I think. Now, what was it you were saying?
Well, my daddy and my Uncle Click, you know, Uncle Click, he loves sweet stuff. All kind of onions and herbs and stuff like that. And him and my daddy, they was great to hunt bees, too. And you got to make a little stand and you got to have a piece of bee comb, you know, and put sugar water on it. And you catch honeybees and put them on that comb and let them suck the sugar water and then they'd watch them as the way they went.
Oh, is that how they made the bee bait?
Yeah, with sugar water.
Sugar water?
Yeah, make the sugar and stir it up with a little water and pour it down that honeycomb. Boy, them bees would really come and go for that. And then torch them. Keep moving their little stand through the woods until they find the bee tree. And the way down, they find some way down where they call Fine Holler. That's where, like, you're going towards Richard Holler.
Mm-hmm.
And then them great big poplar trees, they find the bee tree. And then poplars look like they're the best honey and get more out of them. Sometimes they cut one and have lard cans full of honey and capped over the prettiest number with the pure fur honey.
Oh, would they chop down the tree then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Click, you know, he'd rob the bees. My daddy, I think, scared of him. He'd make a smoking hole in the smoke door. Old rags, you know, on the rags and set the fire and let the smoke go up. And he'd hold that door till Uncle Click would rob the bees.
Oh, boy.
And he hardly did get stoned. He'd tie his breeches leg down, us kids, you know, and laugh. He'd look so funny and make a little piece of screen, and put, like this little screen wall, and put that down over his head. And he hardly ever got stoned.
Oh, boy.
And we're talking about good honey, that was.
Yes.
Yeah. These horse bees combined a whole lot of trees.
Ooh.
And we had plenty of honey then through the mountain, in the mountains too, through the weather.
You didn't tell me about that sugar maple. You didn't tell the tape.
You only tell yet.
Yeah.
Well, the whole holler up through the home we lived were them vintage sugar maples. And all us kids would get us a cup, about a quart cup. We'd take our old axe and whacking that tree and sugar water in and let's roll out. And we'd get that cup under that tree and it wasn't no time before we'd have it full of sugar water, and some of them say, y'all gonna make me laugh that as we just, no sir, we go drink. We go drink it, so we drink it every bit up. I think Greg Cage Jordan, they made a little one time, they said, and that Rufus, he died with a sore throat, that's the one, same age I am, just about 3 weeks difference between us, they said, and he's the one said he made the sugar water, you know, molasses of the sugar water. And he told us, we'd laugh at him, he said, you know how much sugar water it took to make a gallon of molasses? We'd say, no, 40 gallons to make 1 gallon. So I probably don't look up all that. If I wasn't going to spend with that, I was going to drink mine. So I thought that was real good.
Oh,
it
yeah.
Tastes like maple, you know, and good and sweet.
You know, I've never heard of anyone just drinking it raw.
Yeah, we would. Oh. Us kids, but that's something real.
Oh, I think that's great.